And joining us right now is Daniel Sinjata, one of the stars of the great show Rescue Me on FX. And we've been talking about it all day today with some of the stars of the show. It's a wonderful show. You have extensive background in many other shows, but tell us a little bit about your experience with this one. This is a great one.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it's a fantastic opportunity. Number one, it's a television show that shoots in New York. So, you know, as a New Yorker, to not have to move to Los Angeles to get a job was a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you know, it's about firefighters dealing with the post-traumatic stress of having been through 9/11 and about the relationships of the guys and women in the house. You know, we got a great cast, obviously. Dennis Leary, Michael Lombardi, Stephen Pasquale, John Skurdy, Jack McGee, James McCaffrey, Andrea Roth, Callie Thorne, the list goes on. It's a great group of people. We have a lot of fun on set, and I think we all feel pretty blessed to be part of such a special project as Rescue Me.
Yeah, I think that the characters are very sympathetic. The writing is superb, and I've been told by all the cast members I've talked to that it is a tense show if you're watching it, and probably even if you're getting into character. But I guess off the camera, you guys have a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things that makes the performances come across so well is the fact that between takes, you know, there's so much kind of, I don't know if, is joviality even a word? there's a lot of laughing.
Yeah.
You know, we really enjoy each other's company just as human beings, and of course that makes it a lot easier to act with somebody and to create something with that person. So
sure.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And just like anybody in any job, if you enjoy going to your job, it makes it that much more fun as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we really do kind of feel like we're playing when we're at work, and you know, what else could you ask for in this life?
Now, you've been associated with a number of shows, and one of the ones many of the listeners out there probably know is Law & Order Special Victims Unit.
I certainly have, and let me just say, Mr. Dick Wolf, thank you so much, sir, because I have that job came to me. Actually, it was just, I did about 17 episodes of that show. Every third episode, you might catch a 15 or 20-second scene of me finding a fingerprint or a hair fiber that helped the stars of the show actually figure out who done it, kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But at the time that job came to me, I was literally, you know, completely down on my luck. You know, my dad had been paying my rent for 3 months in a row. I was counting out change to go buy fried chicken wings and white rice once a day at the local Chinese place. So it was like really one of those starving artist situations. And I got the call from Law & Order. I went in for the audition, got the job, and went to work all the same day. It just happened all in one day. And that job kind of gave me the encouragement to keep doing what I was doing at the time.
So. And it's a tough thing to act. A lot of people don't realize, you know, the pressure of it. It's not like you go in there and you become a millionaire instantly. You have to work so hard, and you need support of your family. Many family members would say to you, "Hey, you know, Dan, get a job, will you? Get a real job."
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I have to say, when I started out as a business administration major at Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, Florida, for the first semester that I was down at school. And then I changed my major to theater, and I was expecting to get a little backlash from the parents, but really they were just completely supportive of me. You know, I never had that unfortunate experience of having people whose support you really need and depend on have them withdraw that support because I was making what I guess at the time was probably a risky decision. But, you know, I think that their support is one of the reasons why things have worked out relatively for me so far. So I thank them for that.
Well, it's interesting that you also got a role on the other Law & Order as well.
Yes, actually, which was kind of, it was funny. It was actually like a little Rescue Me reunion. Jace Alexander is one of the directors who works regularly on Rescue Me, who also has directed a number of our episodes. I'm sorry, works regularly on Law & Order.
Right.
And he has directed a number of the episodes of Rescue Me as well. So he did that particular Law & Order episode. Then we Andrea Roth, who plays Dennis Leary's wife, Janet, on our show, played my girlfriend in that Law & Order episode. So it was kind of like, it was almost like we were on the set of Rescue Me, except we were at Law & Order.
Well, I don't think that that Dennis's character would have liked that scene too much if you saw it.
Hey, you know what, though? We actually did not really have any scenes together.
Oh,
that was the strange thing. She played my girlfriend, but she was, it was a weird scenario. Our scenes were, we never actually had any scenes together. She was just helping me find an alibi for, you know, this murder that I was under investigation for, supposedly. But no, it was a great experience. That was also very fun.
Yeah, I was just talking to Mike about the last episode of season 2, which is just, wow, it gets right to your heart.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that's happened, you know, during the show, particularly with Dennis's character's son, it just gets you. It's very wrenching TV.
Definitely that. But what I think one of the things that is, in my estimation, kind of genius about the show, the way that Dennis and Peter write the show and the way that they structure it, you know, they'll have you crying one second, laughing the next, and then maybe later on, you know, not knowing which to do. You know what I mean? All at the same time. And the juxtaposition of these kind of very dramatic sequences with more light with the lighter fare of the show, you know, I think it's what makes such serious subject matter palatable to an audience. Actually,
absolutely.
I think otherwise people wouldn't be able to watch it. It'd be too much.
Exactly.
You know?
It'd be too dark otherwise.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even the juxtaposition between him and his son, and then his hatred to the man who killed his son.
Oh, absolutely.
And what happens through that is just,
sure.
It's an amazing arc right there.
Yeah. And then, bringing it home in terms of, like, karma, you know, he himself, you had that conversation with Jesus in the truck while he's waiting for, you know, for this drunk driver to be shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times has he driven drunk and not killed somebody out of pure blind luck? You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
That drunk driver was Tommy, in a certain sense.
Exactly.
You know, Tommy on his worst day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, sometimes it takes things like that for people like that to see those kind of things.
Yeah, you know? Unfortunately.
But his conversations with Jesus are very interesting, actually, and Jesus has a profound influence on him and what he does.
Yeah, even though he's a man struggling to find his faith, yeah, that is a very, very interesting storyline.
It is. I mean, and we've seen it when he's, you know, picked up a drink and sometimes seen things.
Yeah, like blood dripped
down
from the ceiling and hit his hand.
Exactly.
Like, don't do that, young man. Right.
Yes. Now, lightening up a bit here, I wanted to talk a little bit about another show that you were on, too, Sex and the City. Tell me a little bit about that and your role on that. I know you were on a couple of episodes of it.
You know, I was only on one. However, according to my manager, my agent, the episode that I was on, it was called Anchors Away. It was the premiere episode of the third season of Sex and the City.
It
really just caught on as a kind of a national phenomenon by its third season. And so that episode was the most watched episode of Sex and the City other than the finale. So I actually got a lot of mileage out of that. That was another huge, very fortuitous kind of blessing that came my way.
Well, they said that you were also in the Farewell episode as well.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
It says here that you were also in the Farewell episode as well.
Only if they took an excerpt of Anchors Away and put it in the in that episode. But I certainly, unfortunately, was not invited to return.
And you weren't paid for it either.
Yeah, I wasn't paid for it. But no, the Sex and the City episode came along right around the time I was rehearsing this Broadway show I did called Take Me Out. And I got to, you know, go to set, talk to Sarah Jessica Parker, who I was expecting to be kind of like, I was expecting her to be kind of a diva or something, but she was so nice and absolutely had no reason to be other than the fact that just must be how she is, you know.
Yeah.
But they were very gracious to me on that set, made my work very easy, and, you know, made it easy for me to slip into Lewis from Louisiana.
Yeah, I would think that would be a lot of fun working with those young ladies.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Nothing wrong with working with beautiful women, you know.
Hey, you know, somebody's got to do it.
Now, you just mentioned Take Me Out. Isn't that, weren't you nominated for a Tony for that?
I was, actually.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's an incredible honor. I mean, the show itself won Best Play that year, got the Tony for Best Play, it got Best Director, and there's a castmate of mine, Dennis O'Hare, who is a veteran of the stage and screen, but primarily the New York stage. He won the Tony for Best Featured Actor in a Play. And, I don't even know what to say about that experience. When we all got that job, the 13 of us who composed the cast, you know, we knew that we were going to get to go to London and perform for a little bit, and we knew we were going to do some off-Broadway at the Public Theater, and that's all we knew. And we were all very happy with that. And then when we were at the Public Theater, you know, I guess some producers came scouting out the show, and we started hearing buzz that we may end up going to Broadway, and then to have actually gone to Broadway, and then for the show to have received the accolades that it did at that level, at the level of, you know, receiving Tonys and stuff like that, I mean, it just was beyond a dream come true, you know, totally unexpected and just unbelievably, just a fantastic, fantastic experience.
It's a great play, and it's also extremely timely in terms of what it was discussing.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, you know, I played a character, Darren Lemming, who was a gay baseball player who kind of comes out of the closet. In a fashion, it would be as if, you know, Barry Bonds were to come out of the closet tomorrow. It was that kind of a kind of a thing. You know, a superstar baseball player at the top of his game who decides to make this kind of announcement. And then the play was it's written in a nonlinear fashion, so it starts with that inciting event, and then it goes backwards and forwards in time to examine the things that led up to that announcement, and then the consequences and repercussions of it. And it's really, though, not a coming-out play. It really wasn't a play, per se, about a gay baseball player. It was more an examination of American democracy through the lens of the, you know, the classic American pastime, which happens to be baseball. So in that sense, you know, Richard Greenberg just wrote an unbelievably brilliant script. And he came very close to winning the Pulitzer that year for that script, actually. He lost out, but... Again, no, it was a fantastic piece of material. We never got tired of saying those words. We did that play for 2 years, and that can be a very arduous experience if you're stuck in a play that you hate. But when it's something like Take Me Out, every night is, you know, an opportunity to create miracles. You know, it was fantastic.
And to get an audience totally into it that would stand up after every single play and go crazy.
No, we got our share of standing ovations, but we always, all of us always said the star of the play was the play itself.
It is. It's a great
play. If we just got out on that stage and just said the words, you know, the story was interesting enough that even if we didn't bring our A game on a particular night because of fatigue or something, the audience ended up loving it anyway. So.
Any talk about Take Me Out as a movie?
Yeah, there was some talk about that. I mean, I remember flipping open page 6 one morning while we were doing our Broadway run and seeing, like, Ben Affleck wants to take Me out or something like that, like he wanted to option the rights to the movie. I haven't heard anything else about that, though, so I don't know if that's still in the works or not. But
Now, talking about movies, I understand you actually worked for Woody Allen.
I did. I had a very small part in a movie called Melinda and Melinda. Will Ferrell, Rhoda Mitchell were the star, you know, two of the stars of that film. And yeah, I played Rhoda Mitchell's boyfriend in about one flashback sequence and two or three scenes after that. But, I mean, I would have basically, you know, done background work to be included in Woody Allen's body of work, you know. He's such an American icon. It's kind of like being in a Andy Warhol painting.
Did you actually have a chance to actually talk with a man, or was it pretty much a distance?
He spoke to me, you know, he spoke to me in the audition, he spoke to me a little bit on set, but he's kind of, I think, part of Woody's genius is the fact that he knows when not to over-direct. If he's getting what he wants from you, you're not going to hear a lot from him, other than, good job, do that again, or, you know, try it, but try it a little bit different. You know, he didn't give a lot of really specific, heavy psychological instruction as a director. He just kind of lets you find your way, and that was very nice.
Now, you actually starred in a film that featured two people who you picture doing a movie together, Anthony Hopkins and Chris Rock.
Yeah, that was an interesting combination, huh?
Yeah.
The movie was called Bad Company. Oddly enough, you know, it was about Afghani terrorists who wanted to, you know, detonate an atomic bomb in New York City.
Sounds like 24.
Yeah, right? Well, we were in the midst of, you know, we had shot the film, it was in the can, it was in post-production, it was going to come out, and then 9/11 happened. And it wasn't just our film, Bad Company, there was that Schwarzenegger film, Collateral Damage,
right,
that was also scheduled to come out. All these films that were about terrorism were about to be released, and then this horrific, horrific, terrible, terrible day occurred, and Bad Company and also Collateral Damage and other movies got shelved for obvious reasons.
Right.
But eventually they ended up coming out. Bad Company did okay at the box office. I don't think we ever were any higher than, like, number 10. But the opportunity to even stand next to Anthony Hopkins and listen to him just tell stories was absolutely invaluable. It was a really, really great experience and really cool to be able to cut my teeth in front of the camera on the big screen in such a way.
Well, you've had a lot of fun, I can see. Also, you know, started with the lovely Penelope Cruz in a movie as well.
Yeah, I didn't get to actually, I didn't have any scenes with Miss Cruz.
How about Susan Sarandon?
Yeah, I did have some scenes with Miss Sarandon, though. Mm-hmm. I certainly did. And that, again, I mean, keep saying, wow, what a great experience, but I've been very fortunate to have a number of them, and that, again, also ranks up there as one of the top because if you ask me, she's like, she's the best. She's one of the best for sure.
Oh, yeah. Now, yeah. Let me ask you a question in terms of the upcoming, you have some time off now. Are you doing any films, or are you just kind of taking it easy promoting the show? Or?
You know, all of us, all the guys are trying to look for work to fit within our the window of our hiatus, which when you're doing a 13-episode television show, you have pretty much six months of the year off.
Right.
But to find the right project that begins and ends within that window of time can sometimes be a little difficult. So we're all, you know, we're reading scripts, we're auditioning. I think right now the only person who's actually working right now is Stephen Pasquale. He's doing he just recently opened previews for an off-Broadway show called Soldier's Play.
Oh.
Him, Taye Diggs, Anthony Mackey, should be a fantastic production. Me and Mike Lombardi can't wait to go see it.
It's really tough, though, I mean, to work in the hiatus, because even though sometimes the parameters may work, a lot of times films go over and it becomes a difficult situation.
Yeah. I mean, yes. That's something that obviously we would not want to happen, because, you know, Dennis is our boss and we're contractually obligated to show up once
once
Rescue Me goes back to camera.
Yeah.
But, you know, what you want is that, you know, that 5 or 6 week gig that starts in November, you know, and you know, ends in early January or whatever. I mean, we're not supposed to go back to Rescue Me till February or March, so.
Right.
Yeah, films can sometimes run over, but as long as you're not cutting it too close, you should be safe.
Yeah. Well, we hope to see you on some on the big screen again, and again, we'll be watching the folks. If you haven't, first of all, everybody out listening, go out to the video store and either rent or buy season one of Rescue Me. Get an idea of what it was like. It's a great show. Mm-hmm. And then tune in. The season finale will be on from season two. It's wonderful. It'll tell you everything you need to know and get you ready for the opening of season three coming up.
It'll get them all caught up. And I just wanted to say we so appreciate the support, especially of the fans in the Boston area and the surrounding, you know, the surrounding districts. It's just every time we come to Boston, you know, the people here treat us so well, and we hear so much on the street how much people enjoy the show, and we never get tired of hearing that. It means so much to us, and definitely means a lot to Dennis, so I just wanted to say thanks for that.
Well, it's a great show, and again, the more people that watch it, the more people that are going to like it, because it's one of those shows, if you watch it once, you will be watching it again. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.